Niles Blaze, the once winner of the race who wished himself into a wishmaker, reaches in and cups the last bit of liquid in the depleted wellspring. Helios, the last true keeper of the sun, stands across from Blaze with disapproval. They stand at the bottom of the Wild Sea, directly beneath Wishmaker's Isle.
I don't feel good about this.
Oh, cheer up, old man.
Blaze gulps down the liquid, letting it run down his face and onto his cloak. He looks renewed and flashes a wicked smile at Helios.
I'll be back before you start to miss me.
Blaze picks up the bucket by his feet, and in a flash, he's gone.
So after your visit with the captain, you guys head back to the rest of the group? Is that what was what the plan was?
Gotcha.
So you guys regroup with Simon, with Eve, with Star. And then, yeah, what's up?
Was that the plan?
We're going to let you guys do the talking, but we're going to let you know that we can go see. Yeah. I think we're going to like be there in the back.
Got it.
All right. The ship is deeper than you realize. The living quarters below deck are spacious and comfortable, designed to accommodate hundreds of sailors. The decks go deeper, and one level lower is the cargo hold. Tight, but spacious, filled with great boxes, barrels, all wrapped in cargo nets. Below that is the orlop. Hardly any light reaches this deep, and the only illumination is a spattering of glowing fungi that are contained in thick bottles that are restrung up with rope to the roof of this place so that they do not rock with the sea. This is the bottom of the ship, and the floor here is made of reinforced steel that is hot to the touch from all the friction against the waves. The clearing is less than 5 feet tall, and you must crouch to move anywhere in this space. At the back of the ship, where the engine roars loudest, is a metal cage with a great lock on its cage doors. A heap of gray cloth lies pathetically in the far corner of the brig, motionless. Who approaches?
I feel like I'm last because I'm so big and very hard to fit my shell through some of these tighter spaces.
Star?
Sure. Star will step forward. Yeah.
See, Star rushes forward?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody new to ask questions?
Star, you step forward. Mm-hmm. And it's a brig. I think you're familiar with what, like, a prison is. With everything that it looks, it doesn't look comfortable. It doesn't look pleasant. And this figure, you approach it, and what do you do?
I think she gets excited at the idea of talking to another person, meeting another person, someone that she hasn't necessarily met because she didn't know anybody was down here. And I think she pretty much goes right up to whatever, like
the cage,
the cage. Bars. Yeah. And goes, hey, hello, my name's Star. What's your name?
The cloth unveils the keeper, and you see her complexion. This once bright and shimmering person with the power of a wish inside of them is now dull and woody, like that of some marionette. Her movements are choppy and heavy. Her motions lack fine motor function. Her joints squeak and moan with the sound of wood against wood as she clambers up from her spot on the floor. She cannot stand. Her legs are useless, so instead she drags her body to the gate up to you, Star.
Ugh.
Her eyes hollow and full of dread. And a hoarse whisper escapes her clenched jaw.
Grezzerin!
She takes a couple steps back.
You take a step back. Do you stand there and take it, or what is the reaction that you have?
I think she's... It's not necessarily fear, because I think she's curious as to what she's seeing and what she's looking at, but there is an element of not wanting to get too close to this.
Gotcha. You see the figure kind of like reaches out to the bars, and like her palms hit the bars, there's this wooden twang against the bars. You see her fingers slowly close over the bars, and she pulls her face up to them. And again, she cries out with a clenched jaw, "Grezzerin!"
Does, when I found the petrified Grezzerin,
yeah.
did she know what that was?
Yeah.
Star?
I think you'd know what Grezzerin is, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do I know to the extent that everybody does?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty common thing in the wild. See, I think when you were growing up, even your parents were just kind of like, hey, we got to be careful of this organic stuff that we call Krez, mm-hmm. or that people have called Krez.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's caused some great mutations in your family's line, but also, like, it can do really harmful things as well,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's raw.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's crystal form, it's not as bad. Mm-hmm. It's more like when it's sap, that's at its most dangerous.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Good to know. I think she sort of leans forward because her curiosity is just kind of getting the better of her,
mm-hmm.
Especially seeing it in this very wooden form.
Yeah.
And it's kind of reminding her of her own wood mask.
Yeah.
And so she's a little curious about if it's the same or gotcha. If it's similar.
As you go inch a little bit closer to really the curiosity draws you in of like this spectacle. I think that fear, that protective energy, I think it's dismissed because of the metal bars.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like a very dangerous animal's on the other side. And that false sense of security that you have, it's just kind of like, oh, I can get in closer and kind of take a peek.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do, I think this keeper of the sun quickly snatches you by the cuff of your collar and drags you in and pulls you into the bar.
Mm-hmm.
You can try to escape this. Anybody can jump in to try to stop this. Reverend rises, raising his hand. Gotcha. Dylan, what would your pull be?
I'm going to throw iron.
I'm going to do iron and break.
Iron and break. Gotcha. Okay. How many dice is that?
Quattro. Four.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Two fives,
a wow. One and a three. Reverend, what do you do?
Fully extendo arms, G.I. Joe grip, and grab the shirt of a star and just kind of slinky one arm back and keep the other one here at the bar holding her arm, like, because she reached out, right?
Yeah, you grab
it. So I'm just going to hold it so that she can't, like, retract the arm back.
Gotcha. You grab onto this. It doesn't feel like flesh anymore. Mm-hmm. It's definitely like kind of like a bamboo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Very feel like it. Do you meet a lot of resistance and where there should be flesh?
Okay.
And you're holding it there and she clambering, like trying to get out of it, but not enough strength, mm-hmm. not enough control over motor functions. You're able to snatch Star out of the way. Star, you are pull a great safety of a distance back to where Rise is standing. You join the group once again.
I'm going to give Star over to Eve. Let's not charge in.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say there was a twist with this roll, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There. You got two fives.
Sam, I was thinking one of the twists, because her hand is like kind of becoming like petrified wood now, right?
Yeah.
Retracting it, some of the fingers come off still attached to Star's cuff.
Oh!
Not necessarily the whole hand, but like two or three of the fingers.
That's
maybe.
Cool.
Gross. I'm going to say the whole hand. The whole hand comes off. That's what I want. You've got a Keeper of the Sun wooden hand. That is now a resource that you have.
That is salvage?
That is salvage. Oh, gross. Gross, Sam. I love that.
And as all this happens, as I watch this happen, I just kind of turn to Rise and go, we're really doing a number on her, huh?
I wouldn't hesitate to say that it's us doing this and more her.
You're right. You snapped the arm up. You did it. It's you, man.
Physiology is what I was going to say.
Nah, man. You got this.
What's happening?
You
to
hear
her?
The star or the keeper of the sun scream because her hand is gone in pain, but also in frustration that she is now caught against the bars.
Mm-hmm.
So this conversation is happening, but there is a noise happening underneath all this as well.
Great.
Prisoner is being... Not doing great.
Yeah.
I don't love that sound.
Can I give her arm back? Or her hand back?
Oh, hold on. We have your hand. and you have our trinket. I think a trade is in order.
The hand that you currently have is trying to release itself, trying to dig itself into its clothes, like, desperately. Do you release?
Our captain's negotiating. I guess I'm going to hold onto the arm. You're holding onto the hand?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you throw it back?
No, I'm going to listen to my new captain.
You've made the offer. You see that you see the trinket is like the necklace, and it's around her neck. And you see that the hand that you have captured is like trying to reach for it, and the stub of the arm is like now trying to like get it off of her head. It eventually does, and she throws it out to you guys, and she yells out again, and with this stiff jaw,
Krizzerin!
Orders, Captain.
Luca, go ahead and take a resource, the first trinket.
Wow.
Two gold doubloon.
Trinket one. Got.
Well, this is perfect, right? Then you guys are all good?
Didn't you want to ask her questions?
We were hoping you would help with that.
Can't she have a hand while answering questions?
Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. And she lets it go.
I'll release her arm.
You walk up or you throw? What do you do?
I think she is a little intimidated because she was just grabbed against the bars. So I think she just sort of like gingerly like tosses it over.
You gingerly toss the hand. It like clink, clink, clink. Rolls over to the bars. You let go of her hand. It snatches up the hand and she like sticks it back onto her and she just holds it there for a bit. And you see like gain motor function again. But she's holding on to it. Like the other hand is now grasped firmly where her hand, the other hand broke off and is just trying to keep it there.
Should we give her Krizzerin?
I have a piece of that.
It might be useful.
Could be a gesture of kindness, you know?
I would just need a little time to produce concentrated Krizzerin.
Do we know that? Is that first we're hearing about that?
Vennik did. I don't know about you.
That's fair. I'm sure Vennik knew everything.
You can make Krizzerin?
It's my blood.
Sure. Then why don't we, with the captain's permission...
Luca, what are you thinking in this... Sam is currently going back to Simon to rise. But Luca, Sam, what is Luca currently like going through? Because this is also the person that like caused a great amount of stress and agitation... Like, not too long ago. Like, the last memories that you have before you went unconscious was this woman causing your friends, specifically Eve, a lot of discomfort. So, seeing this, the Keeper of the Sun, what is going through your mind right now?
I think Luca is really bouncing between, no, she's a bad person, we can't give her anything, but we need to ask her questions. But we have to have Sibin bleed to do it? I don't like that. But he said he's fine doing it. But it's just all these things.
Yeah, a lot of buts and buts and buts.
Yeah, keep bouncing going through his head.
I never met this person.
Yeah, you never did. You don't have any personal attachment to it. But yeah, the rest of the crew is looking at you.
For context for Sibin, could you feel what Eve is feeling right now?
Yes, great question. Because you are connected through the spores... I think in this situation, Eve feels very uncomfortable. Eve has kind of stayed at the stairwell where everything is going, has approached only to help Star in that moment where Rise pulled her back. But even then, as she kind of approaches this, there is this fear, this like hatred almost for the lack of control that she had over her own like processes that this woman took from her.
Can I communicate with her in Gaudium? Does she understand that language?
This would be the first time to do that. Let's go ahead and make a roll to see she's able to pick that up.
Instinct and language, I would assume?
Sure.
Dice of six. With a twist.
With a twist.
Six and two twos. Excellent. Yeah, I think... How do you... Because I know we've talked about this once before. Like, you put out your spores.
So... It would still be vaguely audible to the rest of you. It's a bunch of clicks, and it sounds like a clicker, essentially. So it's like,
Gotcha.
But that's our language.
So Simon starts clicking like a clicker from The Last of Us.
Good.
totally normal.
Good, yeah. I mean,
totally normal.
That's just another language.
Yeah. That's not terrifying at all.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, it's the game.
Worrisome. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eve, I didn't poop myself.
Eve is able to understand it, and she is surprised that she does. And then all but once she realizes, oh, I know why I understand this. And as she tries, she's able to communicate back. So you guys can have a conversation in Gaudium.
Would you be okay with me sparing this thing's life?
She clicks back to you. That can't be my decision.
What would you choose if it were?
I'd choose to walk away from this and forget about her.
I understand. She put you through a lot, didn't she?
She doesn't respond.
Would you like to walk away now?
Yes.
You should go above deck.
And you see Eve.
But first, could I have your knife? I'll give it back.
The tendril reaches out to Eve. Eve puts the knife. The knife that has the stamp of NB at the base of it. Yes. That knife.
Nice butt.
Nice butt. Yeah.
There's a twist?
Yes, there is a twist. What is the twist in this interaction?
It actually does stand for nice butt.
I know what it stands for, actually.
I know. I was going to say...
But it is.
If Eve can understand Gaudium...
Yeah.
Or Gaudium... Because she ingested his spores.
You can as well?
I can as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just realizing that now.
Yes. Yes. Unbeknownst to you, Luca, you are hearing this conversation as clear as day.
Awesome. Luca gains one language.
Actually, yeah, I think you can go ahead and mark one on your Z right now.
Incredible.
I don't know if I can speak it, but I can understand it.
Sam just went, hey. As a twist, can I get a point in this language? And I said, yeah, I think that's great.
I think it's good reasoning. And Sivan will take the blade up to the petrified person inside and do a little cut just start draining it.
I was going to say, because I can understand this, and I saw as you were doing it, I kind of reach up to grab your hand for a second. It's like, are you sure you want to do this, dude?
Oh, this doesn't hurt. I self-heal.
We're giving you a little bit. And if you want more, you're going to have to answer the questions.
Yeah. I think you see, like, altogether there is a shift in her energy. It is still frantic. It is still manic. But it is not full of hatred anymore. It's actually full of, like, this desperation is no longer fueled on anger, but fueled on, like, oh, like, the drop of water in the desert is here. You approach...
Yeah, so I would pull a little bit in the, like, articulate hands, and then...
You pull a little bit of your Krezrin blood into your hand. It's not enough to cause any hurt. And I think you very quickly, like, you self-heal, like you said.
Just...
Because it's a small nick, and it's very easy. And then you, like, put your actual hand down into it for her to pull, and she just puts her face into it. She drinks it up, greedily, almost devours your hand. Mm. And all at once, you see, like, her face, that like puppet-esque veneer that it once had to it, like it goes away and is like it's flesh again. Her jaw unhinges and she goes, oh, thank you. Anything that you ask, anything. Oh. And you see like only like her face has just come out. And you see like her shoulders start to kind of loosen up. Eve has walked away. It is now just you four down at the bottom with this Keeper of the Sun. She's still huddled on the ground. It doesn't look like she has much control of her legs. Her hands are still woody and oaky. She looks at you and says, so, you've come to see me go? Torment me one last time? This cat and mouse game of ours, you did not enjoy it? No? What? What do you want from me? I've given you your trinket, your hope for a wish. What do you want here?
Well, I mean, I have a question.
Ha! The bravest one of all of you. Yes, speak, young girl.
What's your name?
She
looks down. And in a low grumble, she says, Niall Blaze.
Niall Blaze. Well, good to meet you. Sorry, this isn't the best circumstances. My name's Star. I think you know most of these people.
You'll have to forgive me, but I cannot stand politeness in this moment.
That sounds like a you problem.
I don't really understand the situation, but I understand it's kind of complicated. I guess I just have one question for you. I'm going around, collecting people's wishes, and I was wondering if you had one, what your wish would be.
Remember that thing I was saying about we shouldn't be granting everybody's wish?
Well, I don't think it hurts to hear people out.
I don't know about this one.
Well, but what's the harm of saying what it is?
She wants to hear my wish. Well, can I not speak my wish?
I suppose nobody's holding your mouth.
She looks to you. This renewed energy comes over her. She becomes a lot more relaxed. My wish has already come true. The well springs have been activated.
And what does that do exactly?
You haven't seen yet.
Huh. No, it brought down a cavern on us, and then we all wound up here.
It brought up a leviathan that brought down a cavern. Rise, you should really be more careful with your words.
I'm sorry, but wasn't the leviathan already brought up? It was in the world. It's not like...
One was.
One was.
Now there's two.
Does each wellspring bring up a leviathan with it?
Why, you want to make friends?
With leviathans? Or you?
I don't think we can be friends.
That's a mutual feeling.
Good.
Certainly not with that attitude.
Oh, it is a great shame that you were the first to find me. I had a great deal of fun with you, but you are all too obtuse to see the great gift that you've been given. A new wellspring? A new source for power? The ways in which that power can be used. My goodness, can't you see? You know now. You know that that's the source of the wishes. That's how you get wishes now. That has always been our source of power, a wellspring. And now that they've been activated again, thanks to our little friend, your little gift from the Wishmakers. What a stupid name. It's always been a stupid name, Wishmaker.
Yeah, because they grant the wishes, not make them.
So obtuse. So obtuse. We call that mountain Big Rock Mountain because it's a rock. No nuance. No language.
And what? This is you getting back at language?
This is us getting language back. The Wild Sea has been in such a disarray of survival for so long. It didn't know that it wiped out its only source of pre-verdant times. The only capacity that the Wild Sea has had to once get back to what it used to be was always within our power, but no one ever asked for it. With these wellsprings activated now, we can get back to that, can't you see? Or are you stuck on big rocks and trees still? Are you all as dense as you appeared to be?
So we can use those wellsprings to fulfill wishes without the wishmakers?
You can't.
Oh.
Only children of the sun.
Keepers of the sun. You are the children of the Wild Sea.
So, what is this pre-verdancy you talk of?
You've never heard the stories?
I've heard many tales.
Where the trees were small. When the land was right. When water was the only sea. For so long, you know of the stories, the tales, don't you? Or has it been so long forgotten that you can't remember the times as they used to be? Do you not know?
It's hard to discern what truth is.
I still don't completely understand the word obtuse.
I see that there is no reasoning with those who lack reason. Let me put it to you simply. Having the wellsprings now in this world, and having the keepers of the sun return with a renewed power, is the greatest thing for all of us.
So that one group of people can monopolize all the power? And so what do? Do we suck up to these new keepers of the sun?
How many of them are there?
How many are there? Do you know? I've answered plenty of questions. I can answer you, young girl, there are plenty of us. But we are not the same as we used to be.
What do you mean?
All of you kind of tap on this, and you know this. Like, one of the things that was revealed when the Wellspring was activated was the Keepers of the Sun cannot make wishes for themselves.
Right.
And one of the things that you encountered with this Wishmaker in particular, or this Keeper of the Sun, is that they were able to grant wishes for themselves. I think as you ask, like, what do you mean renewed? I think she looks to these two in particular, to Rise and Luca, and says, like, they know. They know what it means.
Star turns to them.
So she said the new ones are not like her?
No, that they're not like how they used to be.
Okay.
Like all of them.
Essentially, they are unrestricted by whatever code. What was it?
Genetics, maybe. Hard to tell. Magic and all.
Is that why you're becoming one with the sea again?
As she looks down at the rest of her wooden form and says, yes. We are from the Wild Sea. We are keepers of the Krezerin.
I'm the keeper of the Krezerin. I brought it to you.
There's no reasoning with you. Everything I say is...
I have Krezerin.
I do not wish to be disturbed if you are going to continue to torture me with little to nothing. I've answered plenty of questions. If there's nothing else I can help you with.
Keepers of the Sun, you say they're different than they used to be.
Yes, Captain. They used to not be able to grant their own wishes. Now...
they can grant other wishes.
They might be able to grant their own now. Putting power into their own unique hands.
If someone was a keeper of the sun, but they changed over time, are they still a keeper of the sun?
Oh, young acolyte. You praised us. You understood our power, and you gave us the admiration that we were worthy of. But you knew better than to ask if you would ever touch the sun like we could.
That's a lot. That's a lot to take in right now. So we're dealing with unrestricted power with an infinite wellspring of fuel and this race, bound by law or otherwise, might be the only way, should we succeed it, reversing what you've done here.
You think you can wish away the Wellsprings? Is that what you're implying?
That was never my wish.
You think that this can be stopped? Why would you want that? Now I'm curious.
Why would I want to stop those in power to have all the power?
Why, Reverend of Ascension? Why indeed?
Wait, of what?
Ascension? We can unpack. Okay.
This is a big day for me, and it's hurting my head.
Might be getting a little bit off track here.
I'm sorry. Because if the Keepers of the Sun are anything like yourself, willing to hurt our crew for your own needs, anything like the wish granters, makers, who are not willing to judge what a wish should be granted or not, having the world end, why should I give more of your kind power? Why would I let that stand?
Why join the race?
To stop all enemies of evil.
Then you understand perfectly.
I suppose everybody thinks their intentions are the right one.
There's nothing else to believe. Roaming about in this wild world of ours. There's no reason. There's no control. At any moment, some great Leviathan could come up and snatch us for a meal. No rhyme or reason, your mother would never know. In a world where there is no order, there is no thriving. There's no life to be had. Only fear. To those such as yourself who have only known that, I don't expect you to understand a life outside of that.
But, I mean, there is order out here. Already. I mean, everybody has their role that they play. You know, the way that the world works. There are rules.
I think she starts to retreat to the back of the cell. She rolls on her shoulders. She puts her back up against the wall without the bars. And she just looks at you four and watches and says, indeed, there is an order. And it's not good. It is not perfect. It is based in survival. I can answer your questions. I can have this hot debate on what you think is right in the Wild Sea, but the truth of the matter is, I'm a caged animal, and you four are free to do as you like. You've gotten all the information you can of me. I've given you all that I've wanted, which is quite a lot. I've hidden nothing. You've got a trinket. You think the race can fix your problems? By all means. You have a target on your head for being one of the first ships with the trinket. The best of luck to you.
And like in all things, Niles, we will adapt and overcome no matter what the world is.
Yes, we will.
Can't say for you.
These idle threats at the bottom of a ship do not scare me.
No, but the lack of Krezerin might.
It just might.
So wait. What would the next step be if we agreed with you?
I like her, Spock. Find the next of us. You'll get a chance.
All right. I mean, I guess I got as much information as I think we're going to get.
I'll meet you guys topside. I think we need a little chat.
She looks at you. She takes the hand that she's holding and waves it. Bye-bye.
Star waves and leaves.
Lock it out. This tight space, Reverend Rise sets to like crawl out.
And the door as you guys leave closes and you hear,
say, before I leave, I just kind of look at Sybin, like, are you sure? Honestly?
I need to have words with her.
I also turn to leave. But for a second, I just remember everything that happened in the well and everything she did to Eve, and it makes me incredibly angry. And part of Luca blacks out for a second as it just turns back, and a voice from somewhere else in his past comes out and just goes, hope you can wish yourself some Krezerin. And then I kind of come to wondering what just happened and then continue out of the room.
I love that.
That was odd,
I say as I close the door and it locks.
Hello.
She sits, unmoving, saying nothing.
So, you did hurt my friends. And you made a bigger mistake. I was connected to Eve. So I felt everything you did to her. And I feel her fear around you. I don't want her to fear you. I think you should join us.
And spores start to seep out of Sybin.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, not the normal, like, everywhere, but they start to seep on the floor and then start rising up.
Theodore, I know all about you. You cannot scare me with your idle threats. I'm a plant just like you.
And I can give you just enough Krezerin to keep you on the in-between. Never fully being able to be your plant self. never fully being a creature. Just a very painful in-between. And you won't stop taking it. You know you need it.
There's nothing I could say to scare you.
No.
And there's nothing you could say to scare me.
We're both quite old, aren't we?
No and yes. I was born yesterday. Just like your good friend Eve.
Ah. The Wishmakers. You're just another one of them.
Yes, I am.
It's a very tragic life for you. No, the next part will be far more peaceful. And he'll lumber out of the room.
You guys return to the quarters. What does everybody do after that moment? I think there is this moment where the captain kind of like, I've given the okay, is going to try to find Morka now to get you guys back on the ship. But there will still be time for downtime. Mm-hmm. And so in this moment, you are left to kind of recollect your last encounter with the Keeper of the Sun, your time here on the Helvetica, and everything that happened before that. I think there's moments where there's a thought about Vennik, how you lost a crew member. I think there is still hope that he's out there, that he's a survivor. But still, I think the reality is you were rescued by a ship known for rescuing people, and he is not here. And so that question mark lingers. You've gotten the information that the Wishmakers are now making copies of themselves. And with that activation of the wellsprings, they have a power source that is now spread out. And the heaviest weight of all is that you now are holding the first trinket of the race. Of this promise of find all three, you get your wish. Who's holding on to that?
Lucas? I currently have it.
You are holding on to it, and it's an empty pendant. It is the silver ring attached to a string, a necklace. And there's something that fits inside of it, but it's missing, as the trinkets are usually broken up into thirds. You suspect that something will fit into this eventually. It holds heavy in your hand. Do you think Luca, like, knows the value of this? Truly?
Honestly, Luca knows that you need three of these to win.
Okay.
So it's important.
Gotcha.
And that's what Luca knows about the trinket.
$11 USD.
Where's everybody at? Where are we finding ourselves in the ship as we traverse to find Morka?
I think Ryze wants to have a small convo with Eve. And then a large convo with the captain and everybody else.
Okay. Gotcha. We can do that.
I would say Star would probably first go to Boat, who stayed back on the top of the ship.
Okay.
And go up to him and bury her face a little bit in his fur.
Gotcha.
And then say, like, I'll be right back, buddy. And then climb up to the crow's nest again. And, like, have her legs hang over the edge, and then she lays down on her back and just, like, watches the branches and things go by.
Yeah. Reflecting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of information for her, you know? Yeah. She's only just recently learned about the race, and all of this talk about living to survive rather than living for thriving. You know, it's a lot to consider.
Yeah. Simon, where are you at?
I think he's in one of the rooms. I think that he's cloistered in his shell, just hanging by vines to not roll around the deck.
Yeah.
Because I think he's very uncomfortable on this ship for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
One, not a lot of things are alive. Two, sources of great pain are here. Three, fire. So I think he's kind of just a teenager locked in his room right now.
Gotcha. And Luca, where are you at?
I think Luca was sitting up in the crow's nest initially looking at the trinket, kind of having several things run through his kind of
yeah. Ships we in the can night. Eat.
several things run through his mind. The trinket, the race, everything that's been said about the race, his interaction with Captain Tasha, and then kind of ruminating on everything he's heard about the Keepers of the Sun and all this, and dealing with the little fragments of memory he has when back in that cave of possibly being part of that group, of his past life having that, like kind of remembering, not remembering the memories from some of the other things, but those intense feelings, knowing they're there.
Yeah.
And then something kind of clicks in his head for a moment. Because I don't think he was aware that Sybin and Eve had done, like, a memory whatever until he realized they were speaking Gaudium and he had that connection.
Yeah.
And realizing, you know, if they did something like that, he needs to go find Sybin.
Gotcha.
Because he has an idea.
Okay. I think there is a moment where you climb down the crow's nest, go downstairs, you come up, climb up to the crow's nest and hang out there. But I do want to get back to Rise. You said that you went out a conversation with Eve. Let's do that first.
Quick one.
Yeah. I think you find her sitting towards the front of the ship on the top deck. She's in front of you. It's an amazing sight. You see the Thrasher's two great saws kind of like mowing through the waves in front of you. That sphere is just kind of like blocking everything out. So it's like, it's very trippy of just like, you see the sea in a perfect like domed view. The Thrasher's cutting up everything in front of it because you guys are under. And so it's amazing. And you also suddenly realize it's soundproof. Like what should be the roaring like rippers gnawing through the sea is completely silent. I don't think you'll find this piece ever again at the bow of a ship.
Right.
So she's sitting there, and I think you approach, she hears you approach, and she remarks, "This is amazing. This is wild."
"It's quite a feat. Don't think I've ever been on a ship this quiet."
"I don't think I ever will again."
"Unless you want to wind up in the walls of the Morca."
"I don't."
"No.
That's not a life to be lived."
Nor is it any amount of time to have in there.
No, this has been a nice breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that I'm not really glad that I found you guys.
Yeah, I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad you're okay.
Seeing as how you, willingly or not, are playing a much bigger part in all of this, how do you feel about it?
When I came to you guys, it was because I knew that I could be helped. Luca and Sybin got really big hearts.
Mm.
I don't think they really understand the gravitas of this situation, of what the race is.
Both of them give me looks.
Nod at each other. And then to hear that you were here with Fennec, I think it just made sense that I wound up with you guys. Because I think anybody else would have used me to further their plans, like the Wishmakers wanted. I was supposed to be like her. I was supposed to be expended in that wellspring.
Do you know what happened still that made you deviate?
It's not a perfect process, I think. I have his memories. At least the ones that he gave to me, and I have the ones that I stole. Which have informed a great deal of my decisions. But as far as why I'm not a copy like the rest of them, I just don't think he's that great of a wishmaker.
So if we were to come across one of these wellsprings, what would you do? Seeing as you may potentially have the power to do anything.
I am but a vision of a plan, not an actual keeper of the sun. I cannot grant wishes. I was wished into existence by Niall Blaze, simply to be a tool in his plan. A copy of himself with limited power. What his plan is to create more perfect copies of himself and have those people at the wellsprings.
Well, like you said, nothing is ever made perfectly, right?
No.
So maybe, instead of being excluded, you'll be an exception to rules along the way.
Yeah. She kind of perks up and says, yeah, she kind of didn't really expect me to be a rebel of authority.
So maybe you'll have more to do with this than you think.
Maybe. But I'm sure word has gotten out by now.
Yeah. Everybody knows some way.
Yeah.
But whether you are or are not gifted the reins of this newfound responsibility, what would you do?
What do you mean?
In response to all of this, where do you find yourself?
I still feel like I'm just... I feel like I'm trying to escape something that I don't want to be a part of.
Is that all you want?
I don't know. I haven't had a lot of time to think about what I want.
Maybe you take some time and think if you can't be a part of something more.
This race is a lot.
It is.
And I'm starting to feel like it's our only solution to end it.
I agree.
They're planning something, and I don't know what it is. I tried my best to find it, and I wanted to be sure before I told you guys, but they are planning something. The activation of all these wellsprings only means that the copies of Niall, as Keepers of the Sun, can now be accessible. And I don't know what that means, or how they'll be able to tap into it, or what they'll be able to do. Especially if they can make wishes for themselves. I don't know what that'll look like.
Well, in some small way, we are always granting our own wish. These just happen to be maybe a little bigger of scope.
Rise, that is the first optimistic thing that I've heard you say since you've woken up. And I missed that.
Yeah, optimism's hard. But thank you for your candidness, and I hope that in our journey, you'll find something more than just the need to escape.
You too. We see Luca rush down. I'm actually going to hop over to you. You're daydreaming at the top of the crow's nest, Star.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you hear a voice.
Yeah, I was thinking she would maybe start to turn.
Yeah.
To have a little conversation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, you're sitting up there. You got your big bag.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing the waves kind of pass by. Again, it's very mesmerizing to see all the leaves, the light, the colors.
She's just trying, I think, in that moment to decide whether or not she should bother him with these questions. But she just can't help herself because there's just so much information.
Yeah.
So I think she's gonna have to ask him.
Yeah. I think as you're laying up there, your back is behind you, or your backpack is behind you. And you start to hear that that wooden wind chime of the mass kind of beat. At first it's very rhythmic, it's dum, 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 and then it becomes dum, dum. And then we have like you turn around and you just see it's rocking and beating itself against the rod. Like it's not waiting for you, it's asking you to like, hey, pick up the phone.
And I think she takes a big breath and stresses a little bit and just kind of like okay. And then grabs onto the mask and lays back down on her back and puts it on.
Excellent. We're going to expend this aspect. We're going to put a mark on this. And this aspect is called...
Somebody stop me.
Ancestral spirit.
Ancestral spirit. You put the mask on. And what is the process? What is the experience that you get when you put this mask on? Like, what is it putting on this mask? What's it like?
Mm-hmm. I think in this moment, because she's trying to commune specifically just the two of them, it sort of wraps her up in a kind of vision in being in this darkened void with, her uncle.
Does he appear to you as anything?
He appears to him as himself. Himself.
As himself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So you put this mask on and you were transported to this, like, inky void. Very much like Stranger Things. I'm picturing, like, the water on the floor, the reflections, and then people just kind of popping up. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, it's your uncle, quote-unquote. But actually, do we know what it is, your ancestor?
Well...
Has he revealed this to you?
I'm of two minds.
Hey, I love that answer.
I think that he has noted and made it known to her that he is what would be considered an ancient ancestor, not her uncle.
Gotcha.
I think she chooses to call him uncle.
Gotcha. And does he have a name? Have we given him
a name? Yes. His name is Timber.
Timber.
Captain Timber.
Gotcha. What does he look like when he appears to you in the Sinky Void?
He has a long mustache, black hair that is in a high ponytail. Very similar features to the mask in terms of having a chiseled jaw, a longer chin, and thick eyebrows.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And his build, is it more scrawny, wide, muscular? What is it that his defining feature here?
I think it is muscular, but on a thinner side.
Okay.
Gotcha. He's not super broad.
Gotcha.
He is more of a talker than a fighter.
Gotcha. You put the mask on, you appear in this void, and it's kind of like, and it comes to you, it's just kind of like a distance, like there's... like a fast approaching car that has like its horn is laying on you like a mile away, and then it just kind of comes up to you and it's just like,
hey, kiddo! Kiddo, baby!
Hey!
And I think he picks you up by like under your armpits and swings you in the air like,
you did it! You're on a boat!
Yeah!
You're on a ship!
And it's actually a boat.
It's not an actual boat!
Yeah. And he kind of like gives you a big kiss on the forehead. Mwah! I knew you could do it. I knew you could do it. Oh my goodness. You're out on the wild sea and you're in the Helvetica?
Yeah.
The Helvetica?
You know of it?
Yeah, that's only the coolest ship to be on in the wild sea.
Yeah?
Oh my god. I knew my kid could do it. I knew you could do it. Oh. I knew as soon as you walked out of that cave and you walked in the wild sea, this is a born natural. Next thing I gotta do, you just gotta become the captain of that thing.
I think you kind of do the chagrin of just like, yeah. And he goes, I'm only kidding. And he like punches you on the shoulder like, I'm only kidding. I'm not. No. You
make a tracker mutiny.
Tasha's an excellent captain. We don't want to fight her. Well, that's not something that we want to do.
Well, I actually joined a new boat.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah. There's a different captain on that one.
Are those all your friends that you were hanging out with, that you're getting to know?
Yeah, I could call them friends, right?
For sure!
Yeah!
Yeah, okay. They bringing you places, they're talking to you?
Yeah, yeah!
That really strange guy doing all that shit with the fruit? Excuse me.
excuse me. I'm sorry. I know I'm not supposed to curse in front of you. I know you don't like that.
Yeah.
All that. Yeah, he's a weird guy. Powerful guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting people on this boat.
Yeah, how do you... Hey, I got a question for you. What do you think of that big guy?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he seems wise.
Yeah, wise.
I mean, what do you think? What do you think?
Well, only because you're asking me what you think of him. I don't think he's somebody, you know, who really has everybody's best interest all the time. Listen, dude looks like he's being a really big guy. It looks like he's doing a really great thing. It looks like he wants to do a lot of different things for a lot of different people, but his head's all confused. It's not in the right place. Oh. It's spinning, and I've seen it spin.
It does spin.
Spin. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was the captain at first, but apparently that Luca guy is.
That's what I'm saying. That Luca guy's the captain? Listen, I think that's the perfect crew for you.
Yeah?
Star, I've always think that you could be the captain of any ship that you want to be a part of. That ship is ripe for a captain, especially a captain. That's all that I'm saying.
Sam has taken off his headphones and is walking away from the table.
But that's great news! I'm so glad that you're going to be a part of a ship. Oh, they're going to love you out there. And
you think so?
And I think he gets like really like down on his knees and he says, I think you picked the right one. Because not only that, but they got a trinket.
Yeah, no. They're already like, you said three, right?
Yeah.
That's what we need?
You're one, two, a third of the way there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. That's weird, crazy. Though, isn't it?
And then you get to get all those wishes out as soon as you get the third piece and rush on back. All those wishes that you've been keeping track of, those wishes that I've been keeping track of.
Yeah.
Get to get them.
Yeah.
Get to do them.
I know. It'd be great to make Dad happy, you know?
It would.
But, I mean, you've been hearing the conversations. Isn't it kind of odd that, I mean, they don't really seem to be super big fans of this race?
Politics. You know, some people feel a certain way about, well, you know how, like, your Uncle Teddy. Uncle Teddy, he had a certain, like, way that he dug through the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he liked to go against the grain. Whenever he hit an iron deposit, he'd like to go around it. Well, most people, they'd want to go through it, get all everything that they could.
It's a good resource.
Yeah, it's a great resource. And Uncle Teddy said no. He wanted to preserve the shape of what it was. And it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, some people just got their preferences. And that's all. You don't need to concern yourself with that. What do you believe? You think it's a good race? I know you think it's a good race. I think you can do a lot of good things for it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've been spending all this time putting all these wishes.
You spent so much time, it'd be a waste if you didn't get all those wishes out.
Yeah, I mean, people I've talked to have always had pretty reasonable wishes, I think.
Yeah.
They are, you know, just meant to make their lives easier.
Listen, let me put it to you this way. These people, it's a great crew to be a part of. I love it. I love this crew. Great crew. But you don't need to align yourself with everything that they believe, all right? Here's a lesson that I had to learn the hard way.
Okay.
Sometimes people are just tools for you to get what you need, all right? These people have all the tools that you need and the ability to do it. It sounds like they really want to get all those pieces, despite their moral obligations that they're struggling with, right?
Yeah.
So you gotta ride out with it. Sometimes you gotta roll with the punches, ride the waves, if it will.
Well, I mean,
I think as he's talking to you, he's definitely dancing around you. I think he's utilizing this space to really confuse you. You're turning on your heels, watching him.
Yeah.
And he's just like really expressive doing all these things.
Mm-hmm. And she's sort of probably looks the smallest as anyone has seen her since she came up.
Yes. I think even, like, he's not even half the size of Rise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even in, like, this space, when it's just you two, he towers over you.
Mm-hmm.
And that energy is present.
Mm-hmm.
But not acknowledged.
Right. And I think she, almost as if, like, calling up to him.
Yes.
Is, like, is using people really the right words to use?
Don't get me started with semantics. Listen, Star, baby. What do you want?
I want them to believe in the the same things that I do, I guess.
You can't control people like that. People got their own ideas of things that you can't change. The best thing that you could do is just do the best for yourself in the situation that you're in. All right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people counting on me, I guess, now.
There are. You've got a book full of wishes. And my wish, too, it's very important to both of us.
Yeah.
Listen, I understand you. I feel you. It's really hard to be with a group of people that are real Debbie Downers about all this. Oh, what's good? What's bad? What's power? It's hard. It's a big conversation. Yeah. Part of the reason I haven't talked to you about it. It hurts my head. Confuses me a lot.
I mean, were people like this when you...
Oh, yeah. Race? Sure. Yeah, people were all over themselves about what they should be doing and what should be doing. But here's the lesson that I need to teach you. Look at that Rise fella. Mm-hmm. He won the race before. I knew that. I was around when he won that race. And he did everything that he needed to do to win that race. He sunk a few ships. He killed a few monsters.
He's the one who beat you in the race?
Yeah, he beat me. That's why I'm dead.
Wait, because of him?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I can't wait for this Disney song.
To me.
Yeah, sure, yeah. His crew was a horrible monster to me. Killed all my men. I did a really good fight, though.
Her jaw is, like, on the ground.
Yeah. And I think, like, he's kind of like, he's stopped dancing, and he's kind of, like, handing his head, thinking about it, like, yeah, it was a big sword fight. It was me and his captain. We were at it for, like, 2 hours.
Yeah, you did say it was a grand death.
Yeah, he did something really dirty. And that's how I died. That's how I died.
By them cheating?
Yeah, they cheated. That's what it is. You said it. But listen, all that's to say is that I don't want you to have any hard feelings being with that guy, okay? He's ruthless, but he's good at being ruthless. And that's what you gotta be out there. You gotta be ruthless.
I mean, do you forgive him?
Yeah, sure. I mean, okay. I'm here now with you. It's where I'm supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Water under the bridge. Okay. Water under the bridge.
Okay.
But yeah, I think these people are really great for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
She has completely forgotten any questions that she had that she wanted to ask and all of these things that she was going to bring to him at this point. Because she is just completely wrapped up in what he's talking about.
And I think as he's doing this, I think he starts to see this like, all right, I've given you all the advice that I need. I need you to listen to me carefully before you go. And he kind of picks you up by your shoulders again and brings you up to his face and says, you gotta stick with these guys as long as you can, all right?
All right.
Make sure that you're part of the crew. Okay. And wherever they're going, make sure they get them trinkets.
Okay.
Because this team is a winner.
Okay.
They're gonna win this race and you're gonna win with them.
We're gonna win.
We're gonna win.
We're gonna win this race.
We're gonna win this race.
We're gonna win this race.
And I think when you say that, he tosses you up in the air. And you start to shoot up into the inky blackness. And he's yelling at you as you're going up, going like, you're gonna win it! And that's when the mask kind of like pops off of you gently and just kind of rolls to the side. And you're still lying back on the crow's mask looking at the wild sea in front of you. But yeah. You just hear the...
And I think she whispers to herself, I'm gonna win it.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to support us, please follow us and leave a rating wherever you listen. If you'd like to support us further, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/RPGpod or click the link in the bio of the episode. Find us everywhere on social media for updates, arts, and more. Thank you to our wonderful players, artists, and creators. And again, thank you for listening.